Just got a note here, John, on the traffic we just heard there. I think this is like, this is 14 or 15 semis now for the year where we've had early morning blocking of Highway 18 there in that north or southbound section there of Highway 18 between like Covington going up to I-90. And this looks like it's affecting northbound. I hear some people northbound or eastbound there on 18 are just kind of stuck. There's not a lot of room to turn around. So avoid Highway 18 if you were trying to get to North Bend or Snoqualmie. But I don't know. I've heard some drivers saying maybe semis shouldn't be on that highway. Too many all at once with all the commuters here. Could be something to look at, I guess.
Again, we give you the latest relevant news and information. And if you use Highway 18, very relevant today. Snare up. Again, is that the northbound?
Correct. I got it going northbound there.
Okay.
Been going on for about an hour and a half right now. And it's going to be long term.
Welcome, everybody, to the radio program of record, The John Carlson Show, for this 17th day of September, Tuesday edition of the radio program of record. We love hearing from you, whether it's phone calls, whether it's text messages, same number gets you both. So whether it's a question, whether it is commentary on your part, whether it's something you want us to talk about, something you want us to know about, go ahead. And let us hear from you at 206-421-5757. That is 206-421-5757. Man, were we busy yesterday? Were we ever busy at the Puyallup Fair, the Washington State Fair? I didn't know what the response would be for having a public appearance during at the fair during the workday. And so we put out the call, and man, oh man, most of the time we were inundated with a lot of listeners.
Yeah, a steady flow of listeners, that came out a second time after I was there a week ago.
Yeah, for a
and
while,
then they came back because they wanted to see you yesterday.
Yeah, we had an audience of people who just were there. I mean, it was so wonderful to see. And I was out there from noon to two. We'll talk about it in more detail. A couple of things I wanted to share with you that happened when I was at the fair. But it is so wonderful seeing KVI listeners face to face, because I get the feeling whenever I meet a KVI listener that I already know them. There is so much shared sentiment, and so it's always a kick when we do a public appearance and we're able to meet listeners. Every once in a while, one of them will be a caller. They will share things that I've said over the years that mattered a lot to them. Anyway, we had just a great time. However, the equivalent of sticker shock when we were checking out the prices.
It's a real thing.
Oh, this will be good. I've not heard of the prices.
Now, think about this. Think about this. If prices at the fair are always going to be a little higher.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons, when you go to the fair, you know, they have concentrated business in a short period of time, a few weeks. In the case of the Washington State Fair, I think it's 4 weeks. And, you know, prices at the movie theater, prices at the football game, concerts, they're always more expensive.
Doobie Brothers, that was my first in years, and the prices for beverages, you know, $15, $16, $17 for one. They were the tall versions.
You might get slightly larger serving size.
Adult beverages, Mr. Christopher.
Yeah, concert beverages. Right. I was not driving.
So anyway, Philip J. leaves to run a quick.
I wanted to get a bite to eat when we got down to the fair yesterday, and I was there a week ago, and I saw some of the prices, and that kind of moderated my decision. So I thought I'll go grab a slice of pizza.
Okay, one slice
pizzas,
of pizza. And
you know,
something to drink.
Not super expensive to make and serve and all that jazz, right? And I paid $15.40 for a slice of pizza and then a large unsweetened iced tea that was in a reusable cup. And then if I bring it back, I can get the drink refilled for $4.
Oh, you get a refill for
Not refilled for free.
For the price of a six-pack.
And
of Coke.
Then I walked past, we mentioned the Earthquake Burger Stand, which is a pretty well-known location at the fairgrounds. And I got my slice of pizza, and I was walking back to the KVI booth, and I thought, I got to see what prices are at the Earthquake Burger Stand.
Around $6.50 last time I had one, and it's been a few years.
It has been a few years, Mark.
I can't wait to hear this.
Let me guess, because I didn't $12.
No. The Earthquake Burger with cheese was $19.99. Now, I'll stipulate that was just the line on the board. I don't know if that means it comes with a fries or a drink, but on the menu board, it's got the menu item and then the price right next to it. So it's possible that could have been a combo price, but $19.99 for an Earthquake cheeseburger.
So if...
And I thought about getting a Philly cheesesteak at one point. The Philly cheesesteak was $15.
$15. So if you're feeding four people, and you stop at the fast food, you know, the Earthquake Burger or the Philly cheesesteak place or what have you, you're probably for feeding four people are going to be out $75 to $80.
This one will hit John Carlson hard. A week ago, I referenced this with people that were coming by the booth at the fair. The scones, the Fisher scones, $3 a pop was what I was told. I did not see that on the board. I didn't go over to the Fisher booth.
Well, no, I bought scones on the way out fair. And
was that about what you paid?
$3 a piece.
A pop.
No, that's not so bad. Yeah, I mean, again, it's at the fair. You expect an inflated price.
Yeah.
But here's my point. I'm not trying to dissuade any of you from going to the fair, but of course the prices are going to be higher.
Yeah, there is a relative story here.
But here's the point, the serious point that I want to make. The Biden-Harris administration and the Kamala Harris presidential campaign are making the case that, hey, the economy is doing well. Unemployment is low. That's in part because if you stop looking for a job, they no longer count you as unemployed. It also means that people who take a second job are again padding the numbers as to, you know, jobs held by Americans. Anyway, she says inflation down to 3%. So people hear this and then they go to the store. Or in this case, you know, real life example, they go to the fair. And what do they see when they order food? Again, not something fancy. What happens when they just order food? You just heard a couple of examples. $15 for a slice of pizza and a drink of not adult beverage, you know, a Coke. And I could be taking calls all morning long from KVI listeners about what have you noticed that costs way more at the store than it did a few years ago. We could be taking calls all morning long, and it would reinforce what you are seeing at the store. And here, the bottom line is costs are not 5%, 10%, even 20% more than they used to be. Prices on a lot of important stuff are like 30, 40, 50%, even double. I talked to my mother-in-law. She loves to make guacamole. So she went and got, it was either 4 or 5 avocados.
Yesterday was guacamole day, by the way.
Okay.
National.
Why did Christopher knows all this stuff? He would know that it was, you know, it's guacamole day, it's U.S. Constitution Day, it's Tall Ships Day. Anyway, she goes and gets 4 or 5 avocado, $20. $20. So what my point here is these people in Washington, D.C. are so disconnected from everyday reality. They're looking at reams of statistics and say, oh, pick that one out. That makes us look good. Oh, pick that one out. That makes us look good. And they're not dealing with the reality that people see in front of them every single day. So we will see how that translates in November. You know, the closer to home, the campaign for Initiative 2117. And if we have that that 30-second spot, yes, we do. Or we'll play it here in a minute. You may have seen the commercials because they are awash in money from billionaires, literally billionaires, Bill Gates, Steve Ballmer, they're in on trying to preserve the invisible gas tax, the carbon tax on gasoline that has raised the price of gasoline. Again, it floats from 23 to 50 cents a gallon. A gallon higher than it would be. By far the largest gas tax in Washington state. Only this gas tax does not get used for roads and bridges. In fact, the law was written specifically to prohibit roads and bridges from being funded. My point here is that when you see their ads, what do you see? People who may or may not be, you know, I'm a farmer, I'm a firefighter, I'm a teacher, I work with the environment, you know, I'm a park ranger, and Initiative 2117 decimates the state and makes our air dirty and our water filthy. Again, you see talking heads talking in generalities, yeah, but about what this does.
It misrepresents it. There are no organized groups that are doctors or firefighters or teachers right now. There might be individual teacher unions. Maybe the WEA would come out about it, but it's a really distorted ad.
So, yeah,
opposing 2117.
But again, what you see are people say, oh, an Initiative 2117 just decimates, just absolutely obliterates the quality of the environment. And then you see a spot like this one, which you're going to be seeing a lot in recent weeks.
Here's what Governor Jay Inslee said his hidden gas tax would cost.
This is going to have minimal impact, if any, pennies. We're talking about pennies.
It turns out it was nearly 50 pennies per gallon, which adds up to a lot. And get this, Inslee's own economist told him it would increase by 50 cents per gallon. But instead of listening, Inslee forced him out. Initiative 2117 repeals Inslee's hidden gas tax. Vote yes. Pay less. Let's fix what's broken.
So if you see a bunch of talking heads saying, oh, it kills the environment, and you say, okay, that sounds, you know, scary and a little hyperbolic, and then you hear this, how are you likely to vote? This ad has Jay Inslee himself lying through his teeth, saying what he knows very well to be untrue. Jay Inslee, I will admit, not the brightest guy we've elected governor. I've known Jay a long time, but he's an attorney, and he knows full well when he's saying this that it's not true. That, oh, pennies. In another interview, he said prices might even go down. Again, some of these guys, they go into politics and they think, well, if you lie about politics to get your way, you know, it's not the same as a real lie. Yeah, I think most voters think it is the same as a real lie.
You know, John, one thing we should watch, and you've seen this over the years, the legality when you do an ad, like when you see something of an advertisement for a product, mm-hmm. and it said, you know, actual customer who uses product or hired actor spokesperson.
Sure.
When you get to these political ads,
you never know.
See if you see that.
Yeah.
Or does it just say fireman?
Yeah.
You know, doctor.
Or you just see someone wearing the uniform.
Outfit.
And,
yeah.
you know, maybe they found a farmer somewhere, a liberal farmer somewhere. It's, they're there.
Right.
They're out there somewhere. Probably the growing cannabis. But anyway, the bottom.
You got to show some kind of proof nowadays. You just can't, you know, again. There's rules in advertising now, and it's hard to keep up with. I'm just saying, watch for that.
But I want to bring this all full circle. Our elites are completely disconnected from us. Our elites in Washington, D.C. are not paying attention to the fact that people are paying dramatically higher prices, well above inflation, even above the cumulative inflation of the last 3.5 years, which is about 20%. They're paying way more than that for things that they need in their everyday lives or things they use in their everyday lives. And here, closer to home with the 2117 campaign, you have the elites who are bankrolling this campaign. Well, oh, put a farmer there, even though farmers were promised that they would be exempt from this gas tax increase, and they weren't. They were promised, and then the law is rolled out, and it's not in the text of the law. So when people react against what the elites have done corruptly, what they have corruptly done, the elites come to their rescue and try and bankroll this multi-million dollar ad buy. But here's the response to it, which, you know, drives home the fact that Inslee lied and you're paying dramatically more, and this initiative strikes down that law. One more time.
Here's what Governor Jay Inslee said his hidden gas tax would cost.
This is going to have minimal impact, if any, pennies. We're talking about pennies.
It turns out it was nearly 50 pennies per gallon, which adds up to a lot.
And that's what people are really going to be voting on, whether you will vote yes and pay less, or whether they're able to ram this through, having misled people egregiously to get it passed in the first place.
We're a favorite, actually, King County Fair for years and years and years. That's where I got to know them, Jan and Dean, because they did it for a bargain price because they enjoyed it so much up here. Don't know what they'd have to charge now if they were at the fair with the prices you were sharing a while ago.
Yeah, a lot of people think, oh, that's the Beach Boys. No, that's actually an act called Jan and Dean.
Wonderful.
Were they there
people.
About the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep. Shared on the hits and voices contributed back and forth to help each other out, too.
If there's a song that you like from the 60s that you'd like us to play going in or coming back from commercial break, no problem. Just text us the request. We're the one news talk station in America that takes music requests at 206-421-5757. Just text us again at 206-421-5757. Tell us what song you want to hear, and if you want to add why you want to hear it, whether it has special significance, special memory for you. And we'll share it on the Commute with Carlson. All right, now we will share Philip J. Vandenbort III with the social media suite.
Yeah, this is a follow-up to the controversy in Springfield, Ohio, about dogs and cats and potentially geese being eaten, and what was accurate, what was inaccurate, what was not real. The social media suite, sponsored by Muckleshoot Casino Resort, came across this story posted by NBC News. And the headline says, "It just exploded. Springfield, Ohio woman claims she never meant to spark false rumors about Haitians." And it says the woman had posted on Facebook, and what she posted on Facebook about a cat going missing, a neighbor cat going missing, ended up sparking all these rumors and questions and controversies that were attributed to asylum seekers from Haiti possibly eating pets.
Or using them in voodoo.
Yeah. So basically, the thrust of the NBC story is this is all baseless, this is all fabricated and rumors and things like that. And I know you have a story that updates this as well. But the reason I wanted to bring this up is, okay, NBC went and tried to put the screws to this story and figure out what was going on, and they determined that this is all false reporting or hoaxes. Okay, good. That's fine. But now NBC is going to have to hold themselves to this standard for accurate information. So now it's incumbent upon NBC to accurately police themselves and report on all these other distortions that crop up in news stories for political gain. So that means if, like the debate here a week ago, somebody brings up the 2017 Charlottesville Trump comment that there were good people on both sides, they've got to correct that. They got to do it quickly. If there's anything about this Project 2025 stuff from the Heritage Foundation, or that Trump is Hitler, or that Trump is a dictator, that Trump's going to be a dictator on day one, they've now got the responsibility to clarify it all and cover all of it.
Well,
if the news media is going to be fast and quick to call out Trump for inaccurate information, they've got to do the same for all the anti-Trump people. Well, they just have to be consistent.
They've always had that responsibility, and they've always avoided it.
You usually have shirked it, right?
So
we're asking for is they need to be consistent.
And by the way, here's the regarding Springfield, Ohio, which we'll talk about in a few minutes.
Yeah.
There, that story is much more complicated.
Yes.
Trump may have been wrong to say that they're eating pets.
Right.
But are animals being killed? Are like the geese at the park? The answer is yeah. There have been police reports. There have been complaints. There have been pictures of Haitian immigrants killing and carrying off animals. He may have been wrong about the pets part, but again, that misses the larger point that 20,000 Haitians being imposed in a short period of time on a community of 58,000 in the middle class neighborhood, working class neighborhood in Ohio, has been incredibly disruptive. So anyway, go ahead.
I think that's time to wrap it. Let's get the traffic in, and I know you have that and many other good stories to get to.
Well, and we have another update on Springfield, Ohio, as well, that ties in to the second attempt on President Trump's life, which we'll get to un momento here. It is, my goodness, it is running late. 6:30, almost 6:31 on the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVA. Okay, we got to give you ongoing updates to the traffic situation there. Highway 18 over Tiger Mountain. It has closed. Is it closed in both directions?
It's affecting both directions right
both
now.
Both directions,
detour,
okay.
Detour, but it's a messy detour.
Fox 13 now reporting that a semi-truck driver is being arrested for DUI in that crash. If you use Highway 18 today, probably best to find an alternate way of getting to where you're going. Look on the bright side. It means you get to listen to me a little longer this morning. Sorry, not trying to make light of the situation. It's infuriating when traffic is blocked for a reason such as this. Someone apparently either drinking or drugging and driving. So the commuting delays in Issaquah Highway 18 corridor are going to be messy for a while.
Primarily up in that north area where we've had most of these accidents involving semis. I'm not saying the semi caused it, but it's up towards the I-90 interchange there on 18 that's most affected. So,
all right. A memorial for a fallen police officer in Seattle killed in the line of duty 3 years ago. A memorial to her was dedicated yesterday in Seattle. Lexi Harris, she was killed when she stopped to assist motorists involved in a multi-vehicle crash on I-5 in Seattle while she was out of her vehicle rendering assistance. She herself was struck by another passing motorist and was tragically killed. She was born and raised in Seattle. I know her father is a really, really nice guy. Worked for, I believe it was Governor Booth Gardner for years. She served out of the West Precinct for SPD. Anyway, I bring this to your attention because KVI listeners helped pay for that memorial. and a fellow police officer, Britt Kelly, joined me on the show yesterday to explain the dedication to Lexi Harris and her gratitude to KVI listeners for helping to make it happen.
I have some great news. It was a little few hiccups with the Lexi Memorial, just as far as location, getting permitting and such. But the great news is the installation for that is going to happen today, just in a matter of a couple hours. And that is in large part to a lot of your listeners who made donations to that. And that was just over a year ago. And so that installation is today. The dedication will be on the 26th of this month. And the project wildly continues, which I am so grateful for, with the help of the Seattle Police Foundation, who does all of the fundraising for this. Every mm-hmm. bit of this is yes. through the Seattle Police Foundation. And we are currently, meaning Seattle Police Foundation, is currently raising money for the next memorial, which is for fallen officer Joselito Barber, who was tragically killed August 2006, when he was only 6 months into his career. So not too far from where Tim and I were ambushed, just a couple blocks away, mm-hmm. and a lot of the same kind of eeriness of newness to the department, if you will.
And no, absolutely. Again, you were still being trained. In fact, I believe Tim was your training officer, wasn't he?
He was indeed. He was my field training officer. Yeah, I think when I did the calculations, it was my 20th shift ever in uniform that this happened. Yeah, my first shift ever in uniform was October 2nd of 2009. This was October 31st. So I was very, very, very green.
Well, we're so relieved that we still have you with us. So the good news is that the money that KVI listeners helped to raise for Officer Lexi Harris's memorial has resulted in that memorial being built, and it will be installed today. Where's it going to be installed, Britt?
So the installation location is actually still under wraps until the installation's finished today. It will be announced at the end of today.
Okay.
I will say that there's always specific connections that I find for the officer. So Lexi was a bike cop. This is off of a bike path in Seattle. It's within the West Precinct, which is the precinct she worked at. It's within those limits. Mm-hmm. So I will give you a clue and say it's off the South Sound Trail, I believe is South Ship Canal Trail. And it's a beautiful location. And so that, and the dedication is open to the public on the 26th. It will be at 11 o'clock. More information for that will be on the Seattle Police Foundation homepage and their Facebook page for anybody who has Facebook.
Okay. And I know Lexi's dad, Laird Harris, he was an aide, I believe, to Governor Booth Gardner, and was very familiar as an advisor to other prominent politicians. He's a wonderful, wonderful man. It was just so sad to hear that he lost Lexi. And it was so great that KVI listeners really got in there and helped out. So now we're in a position to help out again. Tell us how close we are to getting Officer Barber's memorial.
So we are 3/4 of the way there with the funds needed for Officer Barber's memorial. And so we just have one last little push that we need. And we already have the location solidified for his, and that's already actually been announced. It's going to be at the Filipino Community Center in South Seattle, which he and his family are still very, very involved with. Mm-hmm. And so that dedication will be in May of next year, but we just need to get over this last little hump so we can get this memorial ordered. There's a long lead time that it takes to get these memorials in, and they are beautiful. And
well,
they're
granite memorials, aren't they?
Yes. And they all replicate the memorial that was done for Tim at the site of the location of the ambush. So, yes, they're a beautiful badge, large granite badge with the officer's badge number. And then, of course, it has the mourning band through the badge, which, of course, represents a line of duty death.
Of course. So how close are you? How much you need, Britt?
So we are looking to raise $16,000, which is the cost of the memorial. And we are, I was told this morning, we are at $12,000. So we just need one last little push.
You need four grand.
Doing the fundraising. Yes, we need $4,000.
$4,000. We can help out there, folks.
We are very close.
We can help make that happen. Put me down for $100 right away.
I love it. Thank you.
And KVI listeners, if you want to donate, simply go online to seattlepolicefoundation.org. Seattlepolicefoundation.org. We want to raise the final $4,000. They've raised $12,000 of the $16,000 they need. Let's do the final four here. And if any of you can match or exceed what I'm giving, great. If any of you can just give whatever you can afford, $5, $20, $35, $40, whatever, it will all go to help remember police officers we should never forget. So again, that's seattlepolicefoundation.org. Donate to the fund for the fallen officer, Joselito Barber. It's so great hearing your voice again, and we'll keep working to help make this happen. Okay, Britt?
I love it. Thank you so much for your time. So good to hear from you. Tell Lisa I say hi.
I will.
Give her a big old hug for me.
I will, and once again, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Okay, that's Britt Sweeney. If you could make a donation to the Seattle Police Foundation for this memorial, that would be so wonderful. Again, it's seattlepolicefoundation.org. Something you should know about Officer Britt Kelly. When she was Officer Britt Sweeney, she was doing her training. And I think she was on, I don't know, like her maybe third or fourth day of training.
I was going to ask you about it. She was a rookie at the time when this happened.
A rookie in training, just less than a week. And she was in the squad car. The squad car was parked, and she was taking direction from her training officer, Tim Brenton.
This is around Halloween time, if I recall.
It was on Halloween night back in 2009. And a car pulls up next to them, and she glances out the window and sees a gun barrel, and she ducks, and bullets come flying through the glass, and they missed her. They struck Officer Brenton, and they killed him. And that was, like I said, about 1 week into the job, Britt Sweeney. And she stayed with the program. She stayed on the job. A lot of people, young woman wants to be a police officer, something like that happens, get me away from here, you know. No, not her. She is a very tough police officer.
I remember after that.
She's a wonderful person, too.
Yeah, they had a great memorial up there. Flowers and whole. Karen and I went up
there.
Well,
that's what inspired these memorials.
Yes.
Is the memorial for Officer Brenton. Mm-hmm. And so they're now trying to put these memorials where Seattle police officers have died in the line of duty.
Yeah.
And this one for Officer Barber, they've almost finished paying for it. I tossed in $100. I'll put in more if necessary. Mm-hmm. But if KVI listeners, if you wouldn't mind a donation of any size to the Seattle Police Foundation, which is a tax-exempt organization.
Yeah, they had a guard of 24 hours with a remote station up there where this incident happened on Halloween night, as you were sharing, when she was a rookie. And it was just unbelievable that just one people, carloads, families, kids, and the whole bit. It was good to see such support for the Seattle Police Department.
She later married a fellow police officer, Ben Kelly. And Ben Kelly is famous in Seattle Police Department history. He's the officer who shot down Maurice Clemens, who killed the Lakewood Four. And tried to ambush, tried to set up Officer Kelly too, but Kelly drew a bead on him and took him down. What an annoying song. All right. Let's get to our buddy, Lars. Someone got royalties for that.
Yeah, when somebody...
Someone made money.
And we just made somebody's day. Phil got a request on that one.
Oh, was that a request?
The Trashman.
All right. I didn't know it was a request. Okay. If a listener requested it, we're happy to play it.
Yeah. I don't know if Phil had the name.
Okay. Lars Larson. Our noon to three host. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, John. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. And I'm very happy that finally we see an article in the Seattle Times reminding people that Bob Ferguson, after the Supreme Court on a technicality, briefly struck down Washington's law making drug possession a felony, said, we need to go all the way in the direction of Oregon.
That's insane.
And remove all criminal penalties for drugs. This is Bob Ferguson, who now wants to be governor, and bragged about the fact that he was doing it and that I am the first public official to come out in favor of this.
Not only has that killed a lot of people, John, but let me tell you something else about what happened. Measure 110, which is what you're talking about, de facto legalization, meaning technically it was still legal, but with no fine, no jail, no prosecution, no nothing. And people who used to be pushed into treatment by being given the threat, you can have a felony conviction and go to jail, or you can go to treatment. And 95% of the people went to treatment. That's gone. And still effectively gone. It was an out-of-state experiment from the East Coast, mm-hmm. from a George Soros group, the Drug Policy Alliance, and they used the Northwest as a test tube guinea pig.
And Bob Ferguson said, I suspect that in 5, 10, 15 years, other state officials will be supportive of what I think will happen here. And we've had all of this, you know, havoc and chaos and near tragedy, the second attempt on President Trump's life. The attempt of the media to practically blame President Trump for the fact that a Democratic donor and activist tried to kill him. Can you imagine, by the way, if the Republicans, if someone took a shot at or tried to assassinate Kamala Harris, if the Republicans said, well, you know, she was completely lying and misleading people of that debate. She's got to be careful. Look how people react to that kind of thing. There would be an uproar. And yet that is how the news media, much of the news media reacted to the second attempt to kill Donald Trump. They say, well, his harsh rhetoric is creating this environment. This was all too much for a very prominent liberal member of the media, Chris Cuomo. Chris Cuomo called Donald Trump not to interview him, but to A, express concern for how this second attempt on his life has affected his family, and second, to apologize for how his brethren and sisters, how his colleagues in the news media have tried to blame Donald Trump for someone trying to kill him a second time. Have a listen.
And you can think what you want about Trump. He does not have many more full-throated critics of what he says and does than me. Okay? And yet I called him today because I am ashamed of how we are responding and not responding to the threats on him. And I feel for his family. And I know you can roll your eyes and say, oh, yeah, he asked. Listen, that's your choice. And I think it's a wrong choice. OK. We got to get out of the judgment business unless it's judging ourselves. And you got to start rewarding things that are better. And I got to tell you, I don't know how he stays in the race. I don't know how he got up after being shot in the head. And you people who try to mitigate that, you need to check yourself. He gets up, pumping his fist, stays in the race.
First of all, props to Chris Cuomo for calling out his colleagues in the media for their ghastly attempt, ghastly reaction to blame Donald Trump for this attempt on his life. Secondly, it's not all that surprising because Chris Cuomo is the son of Mario Cuomo, who was a three-term New York governor and who was mentioned many times as the Democrat candidate for president or maybe the Supreme Court, and who had security concerns of his own. There were threats on Mario Cuomo's life throughout his political career, and Chris Cuomo was just a little boy when his dad was governor. So he empathizes where a lot of other people, when he empathizes with Trump's kids. So I think that it was impressive for him to stand up and speak out the way he did. Oh, and by the way, some people say, well, Trump had Trump's remarks about Springfield, Ohio, about Haitian immigrants eating people's pets. This has resulted in an upswing of violence and even bomb threats that have been made. Yeah, you know what? The governor of Ohio spoke out about that yesterday. They're all hoaxes.
At least 33 separate bomb threats, each one of which has been responded to, and each one of whom has been found as a hoax. So 33 threats, 33 hoax. I want to make that very, very clear. None of these had any validity at all.
That is the governor, Mike DeWine, of Ohio. And so who are the threats coming from? I hope we find out, because I think it is a crime. I don't think I know. It is a crime to call in a bomb threat. Are they infuriated people on the right? Are they cynical and calculated people on the left? Think of all the hate crime hoaxes that we have covered on this show. Are they teenagers getting their thrills, sending people into a panic? Don't know. But when you hear about the media breathlessly talking about bomb threats, yeah, they're hoaxes. We talked about how there have been what I'll call culture clashes in Springfield, Ohio, and in other communities relating to the killing of animals and using them either in rituals or putting cats on the barbecue, you know, killing, skinning cats, putting them on the barbecue. The Chris Rufo had a picture of a family in nearby Dayton cooking cats. Don't know if they were someone's pets or if they were feral cats or what have you. But I think there's a larger point that needs to be considered here. And that is not, you know, gee, are those cats wild, feral, or are they someone's pets? Or The larger point is that the Biden administration has allowed people into the country that are not assimilating as Americans, but they are simply continuing to live the lives they were living in the Congo or in Haiti or wherever. And the lack of assimilation, and we see this dramatically in Europe, where Syrian refugees or, you know, Muslims from other countries who want to get out of the squalor, economic squalor of those countries, move to European countries and they don't assimilate. And then we see some of the awful crime that we have seen in Great Britain and that we have seen in Sweden. Sweden is now saying no more. Sweden, famously tolerant Sweden, says no more. They are calling for a moratorium on further immigration into Sweden. Because if you move to Sweden because you want to be a Swede, great. But if you move to Sweden because you want to remain a Syrian in Sweden, that's inevitably going to cause a culture clash. And in Springfield, it's almost missing the point to talk. Focus on pets. Just look at the, and you know, we featured comments and anecdotes from people in Springfield about the impact on schools, the impact on local healthcare and social services that are completely inundated with Haitian refugees who are supposed to be here for a short period of time and then are supposed to be moving back to Haiti when the situation there stabilizes. Don't know if that's ever going to happen. But there's just no care at all on the part of people in Washington, D.C. for dumping 20,000 people from another country onto the 58,000 people who live in Springfield, Ohio. Yeah, that's the problem. Dumping 20,000 people from a completely different nation onto the people of Springfield, population 58,000. That's what this country is tired of. That's what needs to stop. But so many illegals have been let in deliberately by Joe Biden and company, the Biden-Harris administration. She's been part of that. She hasn't disputed or opposed any of this. That it is causing alarming dislocation and chaos in local communities. That's why this has to stop. And that's the larger story of Springfield. There is not an American community anywhere now that can escape the consequences and side effects of this tolerance policy on illegal immigration. And we now have people, they have now documented people from 160 countries, or is it 156? We'll go with a lower number. 156 countries, people from that many countries have entered the United States through the southern border. Many of them claiming to be refugees. They just step in and they start reading a script. I am here because I am facing oppression and possible death in my own country. And we process them because our current policy says when someone claims to be a refugee, we adjudicate their claim. Okay, fine. Now, in the Trump years, they said when your hearing will be called, we will notify you. And in the meantime, you have to remain in Mexico. You remain there. The Biden policy changed to, no, no, you can stay right here in the United States. Don't forget to show up for your hearing. And they just let him out. And the perfect example we have of that is, remember the problems that we've been having in Tukwila and in South Seattle and now Central Seattle from all these asylum seekers. I love how the media always use the terminology of the illegal alien lobby. But asylum seekers, who, when they're being interviewed by the news media, are basically making it clear they're not refugees at all. They're just people who are coming here for a better life from another country. And hey, why am I not being accommodated? Why isn't someone giving me a place to stay while I'm here illegally? Yes, even if you're an asylum seeker, you are saying you're an asylum seeker in order to justify being here illegally. The country owes you absolutely nothing, yet here these people are now taking over parks. Parks used by sports teams and little kids. Said, we are going to stay here until we are accommodated. Just the entitlement mentality here is just audacious. But again, the quote, immigrants' rights attorneys, i.e. illegal alien lobby, is stoking the flames of this entitlement mentality. So that's your recent example. I think that we should strike down the Washington law making this a sanctuary state, and that we should call for the deportation of anyone who is here illegally, and that anyone who is an asylum seeker now must wait in Mexico. This is all the chaos from all these, you know, illegals, asylum seekers, people who have been given temporary refugee status in the case of Haiti. All of these problems, such as dumping 20,000 on a community of less than 60,000. These are all man-made problems. These are all caused by really stupid policies or evil policies, frankly. Policies from people who want to screw up middle America, who want to screw up these communities in the heartland, who really don't like this country, and here's a way of making them pay for what? I don't know. But we see the same thing with, you know, George Soros type prosecutors. And sometimes not even George Soros prosecutors, just people who are emulating that example, who are following policies that deliberately allow criminals to get away with crime. Again, is that because they're stupid or is it because they are really evil? And they don't mind seeing all these stores getting looted and sacked. When you're down to choosing, are these destructive policies that are caused by ignorance, a lack of intelligence, or is it because they really are trying to mess things up in this country? It tells you just how bad the policy is. And the people who are behind those policies.
I would not have gotten this. No, I would not have gotten this. I vaguely remember the name of this show, but I think I was too young to see this show.
The original, The Rookies.
Oh, The Rookies.
ABC television. Okay.
That was a big time show fair for several years. But once the rookies started hitting their 14th, 15th year, I thought the series may have been going a little too far, you know?
The old rookies?
Yeah.
And then Kate Jackson was one of the wives to the rookies.
How about that?
And then somehow she moved on to Charlie's Angels. Yeah. No explanation of what happened to her husband, the rookie. But that's how you get another TV show.
He pensioned out after about 20 years. All right. Philip G. Vandervoort III, what's going on there in the social media world?
Oh, I got local and national politics here. Actually, technically international politics. The social media sweep sponsored by Muckleshoot Casino Resort. Bob Ferguson on his social media handle, at Bob Ferguson AG, is bragging about where he was yesterday in Seattle for a press conference. Well, he was at the courthouse, technically. But he was also at a press conference with the grocery store workers union. But Bob Ferguson posted, hey, today we went to court to block the Kroger-Albertsons grocery store merger. And Ferguson writes this, we're fighting for lower prices and more competition and to keep your neighborhood stores open. Well, first I'd like to ask a question. When was the last time anyone in Washington government lowered prices on anything? This is the state that has historically fought $30 car tabs so they can keep car tab prices as high as is humanly possible. I can maybe think of one example where the state of Washington has lowered the prices on something, but I can think of at least four more things where they've raised the prices, and those four things are on the November ballot in the form of statewide initiatives.
Ah, yes. No, Bob Ferguson did send me a chicken check.
Oh, okay.
Remember?
That didn't lower prices, though.
No.
Did it?
Well,
it was a rebate.
Right, a rebate of sorts.
I was going to say no more car emissions testing. That would be the one thing I can think of.
Number one, they did away, or excuse me, you're absolutely right. If you want to reduce government excess, then you can go to the polls and you can do away with the capital gains tax, do away with the mandatory long-term care program, make it optional, do away with the artificial tax on gasoline, and preserve your right to choose natural gas. Regardless of what the government thinks, they have no right to ban.
Well, and if this lawsuit against the merger by the state, there's also a federal level case against this merger. Mm-hmm. But if this lawsuit is prevails and the merger is canceled, there's a deep possibility that Albertson's Safeway will be closing stores in the neighborhood that Bob Ferguson says he wants to keep open. So go figure. Now, I've got one more here. Rick Steves is the international travel expert, PBS guy.
I have used his books. We've interviewed him several times on the show.
He says he's endorsing Kamala Harris for president.
No surprise.
He writes, yes, exactly. The world needs not American isolation, but American leadership. Not the chaos of Trump, but the stability of Kamala Harris. A little bit predictable. He writes that it says...
Wait. What's stable in the world today under the Biden-Harris administration, Rick?
That's a reasonable rebuttal.
Tell me what's stable in the Middle East. Yeah. Tell me what's stable
in his social
in
media
Eastern
post.
Europe.
Yeah, the Middle East. He says it's about more than Republican versus Democrat, but he's basing his answer on the common Democratic Party talking point about Trump and chaos. But let's listen to a little bit of his explanation here. It's about 25 seconds.
Hey, I'm Rick Steves in France. As a traveler, I'm both a proud American and a citizen of the world. And I've got a few thoughts for this coming election. The world needs not the chaos of Trump, but the stability of Kamala Harris.
Okay, I guess
stability?
That kind of covers it. So,
all right, Rick. Yeah. All right, thank you very much. Look, I like the guy. He once took
me. He's affable. He's been in studio with you before, I remember, a couple years ago.
And
before COVID.
And his books really are great ways to see Europe. His travel books really
are
great. Yeah. Yes. And he gets, when he talks about history, he does it on the level.
Yeah.
Okay. When he talks about history in Italy or France or whatnot. But politically, he wants us to go more in the direction of Europe. And he's very big he was big on pot legalization and all that, government-run healthcare. He took me once to a Democratic fundraiser,
okay,
so I could experience it. So I got to sit at his table. I hope he didn't get too much flack for it. And I enjoyed it, and I was going to reciprocate. We haven't had a chance to do that yet. But he's a very interesting guy. I just think he's so wrong.
That I find ironic about all this is that he'd apparently rather have Kamala Harris, possibly a feeble economy, less buying power for the dollar.
Look at the border. About the border?
When his career depends on people having discretionary income to go travel and explore and buy his books. I just found that really odd.
Celebrities expressing, I don't know.
Let's put it this way. If Rick says, if Trump wins, I'm leaving the country. He said, Rick, you leave the country 5 or 6 times a year. What are you talking about? All right. Back we are, the John Carlson Show. We had such a wonderful visit yesterday at the Washington State Fair. I'm going to talk about it in a little more detail at the top of the hour. But so many KVI listeners over there. I am surprised that the turnout was so heavy. And we really enjoyed our time yesterday out at the Puyallup Fair. Well, I tell you what, let's keep a good thing going. We've got our promotions director, Riley, out there meeting KVI listeners in Bothell this morning at Patty's Egg Nest, famous diner in Bothell. And she's out there right now as of a few minutes ago. She'll be there until 8:30. Meeting and greeting KVI listeners, handing out KVI yard signs, stickers, and other swag. It's right there, Patty's Egg's Nest in Bothell off the Everett Highway. So the first person who comes by gets a rare and somewhat embarrassing photo that young Zach has found from Ari Hoffman's high school yearbook.
Really? Where did he go to high school?
Take a look.
Oh, my gosh. Look at that little kid.
Young, is that the mullet picture?
Young, handsome man with a huge head of hair. What happened? Anyway, that's Ari Hoffman back in the day, so to speak. So have some fun with that. Again, that's Patty's Egg's Nest. She's going to be out there until 8:30. Swing by and say hello if you can. All right. Right now, as you know, I am. I would like to put all the wonderful candidates who are running for public office on the air, but number one, don't have the time, and number two, there's other things going on in the news. We can't just constantly be interviewing candidates, but there are some candidates in very critical, important races that we want to highlight. Some of them are statewide races, some of them are federal races, some of them are important, congressional and state legislative contests. Even some local county races. And I'm going to get to as many of them as I can. This morning, I want to focus on the office that next to governor probably impacts your wallet, your purse, your bank account, more than any other. And that is, believe it or not, the insurance commissioner. We have an independently elected insurance commissioner. In fact, we have 9 statewide elective offices, more than any other state. Founders of the state wanted to disperse power as far and widely as possible. They didn't trust the insurance industry, so they created an entire office to deal with insurance matters. You have a ardently liberal, progressive left state senator, Patty Kutaher, who could very easily have been on the Seattle City Council a few years ago in terms of her politics, but she is the state senator, believe it or not, from Bellevue. And she is being opposed by the state senator from, I love this district, the communities in this district, Enumclaw, Sumner, Bonnie Lake, Edgewood, parts of Auburn, just a great part of Washington State, Southeast King County, Phil Fortunato, and parts of Pierce County as well, who joins us this morning on the John Carlson Show. We've invited Senator Kutaher, have we not? She has not accepted our invitation. Well, no, I found that invitation has not gone out yet. It will go out. Well, we will invite both sides to all these races. Phil Fortunato, a veteran state legislator, joins me on the John Carlson Show. Good morning, Phil. How are you?
Good morning, John. Thanks for the opportunity. And that lead-in basically says it all. And I don't know whether people realize that the insurance commissioner's office is different than almost every other, well, it is different than every other elected office, because it is governed by 80% of what the insurance commissioner does is make rules. That means whoever you elect as insurance commissioner could go in there on day one and say, you know what, I'm not going to do any of this stuff. I'm going to do something totally different. Publish those rules, and 30 days later, you will have an effect on everybody's insurance rates in the entire state of Washington in 30 to 40 days after getting elected. It is an extremely powerful office, which is really great if I get elected, because my goal is to get government the heck out of the way, to speed up the process by which insurance agency or insurance companies can get their rates approved, because that is the single biggest reason that insurance companies leave the state. And what I want is I want more insurance companies fighting over your business. I want them to have competitive rates. I want them to have competitive plans. And I want you to have as many choices as possible, as opposed to driving the insurance companies out of this state. And then, as Patty Cooter suggests, the state of Washington could be the insurer of last resort. So if you want the state of Washington to be your insurance company, you know, that's Patty Cooter's goal.
Now, let me give an example of what I think we're talking about here. A lot of people's insurance rates spiked for no apparent reason several years ago. And it turns out that insurance companies were told that if they are doing business in the state of Washington, they can no longer use people's credit scores when they are calculating insurance rates. So
that's correct.
As a consequence of that, people with, you know, bad credit could not have that used against them in setting insurance rates. So everybody else's rates went up in order to compensate for that. You remember that?
Right. Now, the important part of that is that was actually a bill in the legislature that never made it through the process. Mm-hmm. And then the insurance commissioner simply implemented that by rule.
That's why I brought it up.
He just made a rule.
Okay. Right. So that's an example where you can literally legislate by simply promulgating rules as the insurance commissioner.
Right. Now, if you go to my opponent's webpage, one of the things that she wants to ensure is that every health care plan that you have in this state will also cover transgender surgeries. So, I mean, that's not going to affect your health insurance rates at all. Right. And I mean, you know, my goal is, you know, get the government the heck out of the way. The insurance commissioner's office is not a policy making office. The number one thing the insurance commissioner does is advocate for consumers. That's number one. So that's the first thing they do, is to make sure that your insurance company is following the rules and following their contracts that you have. So if you have a problem with the insurance company, you go to the insurance commissioner's office and they are your advocate. Well, what happens when the government is your insurance company, right? I mean,
Patty Cooter has her way, that's what the reality will be. Patty is, who's from Tim Walz's Minnesota, Patty Cooter has made it very clear that she supports single-payer health care, meaning that there would be no private insurance, health insurance in Washington. The government would be doing this. The government would be handling your health care plan. And because you're all in on the government plan, your life radically changes. Now, three other states have tried this, and it crashed and burned in all of those states. But in order to pay for government-run health care, a payroll tax of between 3% and 5% was imposed in these states, and it didn't cover the bills. And like I said, within a few years, all of these models crashed and burned, and single payer went away. Patty Kotaher says, no, we're going to try it here in Washington.
And it's going to be different because we're going to do it differently than everybody else. And so she admitted that it's going to cost $27 billion, and that's their estimate. So remember, when they estimate $27 billion, it's $50 billion.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you just look at paid family leave. You look at this, the Washington CARES Act, and all those things are underwater. All those things are already mismanaged, and they're hardly out of the gate. You can imagine what they would do with your health care. And I mean, this is, she admits that you need a payroll tax deduction. We were going to do a commercial, for example, where a guy looks at his paycheck, realizes there's a $300 deduction for free government health care, has a heart attack, goes to the hospital, they check him in, and they go, wait at the end of the line, right, which is a mile long, and then the next thing you see is the guy's obituary. You know, if we get single-payer health care in Washington State, where in the heck are the Canadians going to go for health care?
Okay. But understand, that's how far apart Phil and Patty are. Okay, she really is. Think Hillary Clinton 20 years younger. And that's Patty Kotaher. And that's what she wants to do to health care in Washington. And she wants to do it not as a legislator. She can't, even with as radical as our legislature is, she can't get single payer health care through this legislature. So she's going to try and do as much of it through regulation and, frankly, by chasing away private companies. That's what a previous insurance commissioner named Deborah Sen did. I think you remember that name, Phil Fortunato. Yeah. She all but drove the individual health insurance industry out of Washington. So that's the.
And what happens when you have less and less choice? Prices go up. You know, so I go, it's a pretty simple model, and it's basically the model that America is built on. You know, you have more competition, that tends to drop prices because people are competing for your business, and that drops prices.
Well, I tell you what, we are out of time, but I want people to know where they can donate to the Phil Fortunato campaign. Go ahead, Phil.
So it's votefortunato.org. So just go to votefortunato.org, hit that contribute. We desperately need money. This is the Rodney Dangerfield of all the races. It gets no respect. Nobody pays attention to it, but as John pointed out, it's the number two race that affects your wallet.
Yeah, huge.
So if you can help out, we desperately need some funds.
Huge impact. Again, go to, one more time, Phil.
Fortunato.org, F-O-R-T-U-N-A-T-O. So vote, F-O-R-T-U-N-A-T-O.org. Thank you.
Votefortunato.org. That's votefortunato.org. Phil, thanks very much. Look forward to talking to you again soon. Right now, Talk Radio 570 KVI is out in Bothell at that classic diner, Patty's Egg Nest. In Bothell right now, our promotions director, Riley, is telling us what she's doing out there. Good morning, Riley.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing okay.
And good. We're out here at Patty's Egg Nest. It's on the corner of 180th and Bothell Everett Highway in Bothell. And we have our KVI yard signs, our Back the Blue stickers, and our Keep Right stickers for the upcoming election.
I love that. Again, you're going to be there till 8:30 this morning?
8:30 this morning. That's correct. Yeah.
All right. Again, go see Riley. She's so wonderful. Our promotions director. She's right there at Patty's Egg Nest in Bothell. She'll be there until 8:30. Stop by, grab a sticker, a yard sign, other KVI swag and giveaways. It's right there. Patty's Egg Nest in Bothell, right off the Bothell Everett Highway. Hour number three of the commute right around the corner of the John Carlson Show. And a quick reminder, our promotions director, Riley, is taking Talk Radio 570 KVI on the road this morning. She has stopped at Patty's Egg Nest in Bothell, right off the Bothell-Everett Highway. And she is handing out KVI swag, stickers, Back the Blues stickers, KVI bumper stickers, yard signs, other KVI swag. It's all happening, again, in Bothell at Patty's Egg Nest Diner. Classic place there. Right off the Bothell-Everett Highway. Swing on by, say hello to Riley. And I don't know if she's given it away already. A rare and unique high school photograph of Ari Hoffman. From his yearbook.
Throwback Tuesday instead of Throwback Thursday.
Throwback Tuesday. Way back here. Let's just say he doesn't have the same hairstylist now that he had back then.
Wouldn't you do in a contest, school. Count how many pimples, if you get closest to the exact number, you win a prize or something?
Anyway, speaking of public appearances, we were at the Puyallup Fair yesterday, the Washington State Fair Puyallup. We had a pretty good time.
Had a lot of listeners came by, said hello. I scribbled down a couple of the folks we talked to. Mel from Yelm. He drives truck for Penske Logistics. Dennis from Bremerton. Do you remember him, John? The career Navy guy?
Oh, my goodness.
The triple threat?
Yes.
He had served
30
in
years.
Aviation.
From the 60s to the
90s. I want to say it was 62 to 92. He said he retired in 92. Mm-hmm. He served two tours in Vietnam, but he identified three forms that he was serving in. He served in aviation. He served on ships.
And then, aircraft carriers.
Oh, was okay. And there was a third, but Dennis was impressive.
Been on the land, too.
Penny from the South Hill. She was actually an exhibitor in the pavilion, the Expo Pavilion. She came over to say hello. And then Colin from Bellevue was selling dahlias, the flowers, there at the fair. And he stuck around for a little while, had some great conversations with Colin.
So it was really wonderful, and I was very touched and very surprised. I guess Phil knew that this was going to be happening.
I did. I got a sneak peek on that.
Do you want us to tell it? I just saw the email on this. I had no clue.
Yes.
And I always think it's more special if you have somebody like a colleague like Phil or I. Sure, what happened yesterday? Total shock, total surprise. And I'm reading this, John, and it's just a great thing. It just brings like a tear to my eye, because when you do things like this as a broadcaster, it just shows you again the effect of radio, the impact. As you were saying, it was wonderful for you to meet so many listeners yesterday, you and Phil. But you got to remember, they're honored to meet you, because as I used to teach in radio classes for years and tell broadcasters, you don't talk to 1,000 people at once. You talk to one person. And that's how you gain the friendship. But anyway, just looking at the email here that I'm looking at from Corporate Lotus, by the way, in California. It says here, quote, "We would like to extend a heartfelt congratulations to John Carlson on a very special honor he received today." That was yesterday. "The Shoreline Veteran Association, along with the U.S. Volunteers Joint Services Command and the U.S. Army's Recruiting Command, Battalion HQ, Seattle, presenting John with a Patriot Citizen Award at the fairgrounds in Puyallup for his continuing outstanding support of our U.S. military and veterans by broadcasting announcements of programs, parades, and special ceremonies that embraces the attendance at these important events. This was a total surprise to John, and we hope to have video to share later as well," which I'm sure we'll post to KVI.
I know Zach recorded video yesterday. So. Yes.
Wow. No, that was it was very touching. And
way to go, radio bro.
Well, see, I love these people. They're such wonderful patriots. The United States Volunteers Joint Services Command has been around since at least the days of Theodore Roosevelt, I think even longer. And what they do is they make sure that when a veteran dies, that he or she receives full military honors. And that's one of their major priorities, is to make sure, with the shortage of men and women in uniform, that they are there to wear the uniform and to perform and conduct these ceremonies for veterans who have passed. And you'll see them out at Tahoma. You'll see them, well, you see them in cemeteries conducting these funerals all over. And it's all volunteer. And in fact, they invite you to join them, to be a part of this. If you've worn the uniform and, you know, you've left the service or you retired from the service, you are welcome to take part in this. Major General Ray Coffey, we've had Ray on the show many times over the years. We like to popularize and publicize their works. All they do is patriotism. And they invite you to learn more. And you can learn more by going to usvjsc.org. That's United States Volunteers Joint Services Command, usvjsc.org. They work in close conjunction with the Department of Defense. And getting this recognition from them, I mean, for heaven's sakes, I'm happy to do this. These are wonderful, wonderful people. So, yes, they showed up in uniform to bestow this honor on me yesterday that, again, I was not expecting. And so many other KVI listeners, a guy who came up who reminded me that he worked with me during the Point Counterpoint days at Cairo TV and reminded me of a conversation we had while at a pre-funk party.
Of course.
Before the Bruce Springsteen concert in 1980.
I didn't hear the Bruce Springsteen part yesterday, but he walked up and he was wearing a fleece that had the Cairo 7 TV logo
but,
on it.
Again, there were just people from all over. That's just one of the many encounters. We took lots of pictures with listeners. That's always fun. And again, I love doing this because you get to see the faces behind the people who sometimes call or sometimes just listen. You know, people who've never called but who said, have been listening since the 90s. And some say, you know, I was listening to you since the 90s and watching you, you know, before then on the tube. So anyway, thank you all for turning out. And again, another attaboy. And thank you to Major General Coffey and the members of the U.S. Volunteers Joint Services Command.
Again, okay. And again, Phil was saying young Zach got video, so we'll maybe watch for that on the website. I'd like to see that. You know.
Again, it was usvjsc.org. And wonderful, wonderful folks. Okay, a lot of things going on. The governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, has announced that the state of Florida will be conducting its own investigation regarding the attempted assassination of President Trump at Trump International Golf Club. Quote, the people deserve the truth about the would-be assassin and how he was able to get within 500 yards of the former president and current GOP nominee, close quote. I'm glad that they're going to be holding this independent investigation because while the Secret Service who were on the ground there were nothing short of heroic, again, the way it works is when Donald Trump is golfing, he'll have, you know, a crowd, an entourage with him, but there's also ahead of him a Secret Service detail that is scouting ahead to see if there's anything that's out of sorts, anything unusual, anything needs to be checked out. And then there's also a group behind him to make sure that there isn't trouble coming from the other direction. And it was a very alert Secret Service agent who saw, I believe it was the barrel of the AK-47 style rifle that Ryan Routh was aiming and getting ready for Donald Trump to come. A couple there, and the Secret Service fired on him. He fled the area immediately, left everything behind. So the trial should not be a problem in terms of evidence, and tried to make a getaway. A very alert person who saw what was going on took pictures of his car and the license plate, and they got that reported in, and that guy only got a little ways down the highway on I-95 before they pulled him over. Ryan Routh has a checkered background and has also fell head over heels into a cause. Again, this is someone who's been in trouble with the law for much of his adult life, kind of a ne'er-do-well, actually owned a roofing company for a while. And a CBS reporter, Holly Williams, remembers communicating with this guy while she was covering the war in Ukraine. Have a listen.
Ryan Routh was the suspect in an alleged assassination attempt on former President Trump. I immediately recognized the name because I had been in touch with Ryan Routh for over a year in the early stages of the war in Ukraine. Like thousands of other international volunteers, he apparently went to Ukraine to help. I don't believe that he was fighting himself, but he had put up signs in Kyiv, Ukraine's capital, offering to help other foreigners find places in Ukrainian battalions. And that's how I initially came across him. I spoke with him, I think, once on the phone and texted frequently, and he put me in touch with several foreign fighters. Now, he seemed very genuine and passionate about supporting Ukraine. He mentioned plans to bring in thousands of Afghan and Syrian fighters, which I took, frankly, with a grain of salt. In an interview with the news website Semaphore, he claimed he'd been unable to get visas for Afghan fighters, but we don't know if he was actually in touch with any Ukrainian officials at all. Now, I've met American volunteers everywhere from Syria to Ukraine. Some are experienced soldiers and clear about the dangers they're facing, but others seem less well-informed and their motivations can be quite confused. To be honest, Ryan Routh did it seem, at times, seem fairly naive. At one point, he sent me an audio track of a song he'd apparently recorded about the carnage caused by the war in Ukraine. In November of last year, he told me he was back in the U.S., in Hawaii, and that was the last time I heard from him.
Guy's a crackpot, okay? Eric Holder talks about people like this. He calls them true believers, people who can't change their mind and won't change the subject.
Did you say Eric Holder, the former attorney general?
Eric Hoffer.
Hoffer, there we go. Okay.
If I said Holder, I meant okay. Eric Hoffer. Hoffer.
Very good.
The famous American philosopher, once a longshoreman. If you're a longshoreman, you're probably going to be a pretty good philosopher. Anyway, yeah, Ryan Routh is someone who, frankly, you would have called a loser. Driving constantly, doesn't have insurance, doesn't have his license, doesn't have, you know, stolen vehicles. You know, he's just one problem after another, mostly petty crime, though he did have an armed standoff with law enforcement. After one traffic stop, he made a run for it to his ramshackle business and barricaded himself. I eventually was able to plead out to misusing a gun, had a machine gun. That should have been a flare, because you cannot own a machine gun in America without a special permit, a federal permit, which, of course, he did not have. But anyway, he dove into this cause. He was a Trump hater, says his son, who was also a Trump hater. He gave multiple donations, over a dozen and a half donations to the Democrats and other liberal left-wing causes. And he was able to hang out in this area for about 12 hours So what is you know, cell phone, he's making calls, you know, from this area. And the fact that he was able to, you know, loiter in this area and then position himself and not be detected until he was ready, getting ready to take the shot. You know, he sees the Secret Service coming, then he's waiting. He sees the Secret Service in front, and he knows that Trump is coming up next. And the Secret Service, who were there walking, were able to fire on him before he could fire on anyone else. They've established that he was unable to fire his weapon. And Trump was several hundred yards back, and he and his golfing buddy, who's a New York investor he's known for many, many years, could hear the shots. But they didn't get close. And, of course, the minute the shots ring out, the Secret Service are all over Trump. So Trump is very grateful to the Secret Service. We still need to know, again, not it wasn't the Secret Service on the ground who made any mistakes, but why, once again, was someone able to get in a position to fire at Donald Trump? And how did he know Trump was golfing that day? That wasn't on his schedule. That was on the down low. So how did he know? Lots of questions need to be answered that are still hanging out there. You're listening to the radio program of record, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. When we come back, Philip J. Vandenberg, the third's favorite segment of the day, social media from socialists on the John Carlson Show. Good morning. And you still have several minutes left to head out to Patty's Eggs Nest. Patty's Egg Nest Cafe and Diner in Bothell, right off the Bothell Everett Highway. Get out there because Riley from our promotions team is handing out KVI swag, stickers, yard signs, other great stuff to KVI listeners. So, again, if you're anywhere near Bothell or Patty's Egg Nest Cafe, head out there right now. Riley is still there meeting and greeting KVI listeners. All right, Philip J., what's going on? Social media from socialists.
I want to get into a breaking news story about Israel, Hamas, Hezbollah, Lebanon in just a moment here, but I want to get the socialists on social media first. The Suite, sponsored by Muckleshoot Casino Resort, and Ilhan Omar's a U.S. Congresswoman, Minnesota Democrat. And I don't know if something new came up about the Supreme Court or if I missed a Supreme Court story, but first thing this morning, Ilhan Omar posted, "The corrupt Supreme Court needs serious reform, starting with an enforceable code of ethics, expanding the number of justices, imposing term limits." So I guess the clarion call continues for packing the court and then, of course, the term limits. And we love the congressional people that want term limits on everyone else but not themselves. Now, with that aside, the developing story is coming out of Lebanon. And I'm looking at a post, and it includes a video from a Huffington Post writer, a guy named Yasser Ali. And it says, breaking via Reuters, hundreds of members of Hezbollah are seriously wounded today when their pagers they used to communicate exploded. And he posts a video of a market, a grocery market type of a thing, and a table of grapes, green grapes, red grapes, oranges, and several people are standing around, and somebody's pager on their hip explodes, and a backpack that they're holding explodes as well. And young Zach and I, were just looking at this video, and it appears that money from inside a backpack comes flying out at this market, and all these people are standing around bewildered. Yasser Ali has another post. He says, absolute scenes of chaos in southern Beirut as hundreds of pagers belonging to members of Hezbollah explode. This is just one location. And he adds, hospital videos show Hezbollah members with various injuries from fingers blown off, hands blown off, and significant eye injuries. Another person
and,
I follow.
And if those pagers are in their front pocket, yep, I wonder what else
right?
got blown off.
On their belt, in a pocket? Exactly.
Oh, man.
An Associated Press story, Dateline Tehran, Iran, says Iran's ambassador in Lebanon has been wounded in the explosion of pagers in the country, according to Iranian news reports. So that's now a bunch of different stories all about this. In this video, you're going to see it on cable news shows all afternoon. It is wild.
Well, I think it's going to be lots of video about lots of explosions happening. Yeah. And again,
the question is then going to become, were these somehow rigged or set to explode?
No, just a coincidence.
Just a coincidence. Exactly. So those are
does Israel know how to get the job done or
questions.
What?
So
again, Hezbollah are the Hamas terrorists of the north. They mm-hmm. call themselves Hezbollah. And they are north of Israel, adjacent to Lebanon. And, they basically halfway run Lebanon.
Yeah, I suspect this video will be in heavy rotation in short order on Fox News, as an example.
So, again, this is just out. It is incredible. They say over 1,000 have been wounded. Several have now died. But again, all these Hezbollah terrorists have pagers, and those pagers, we have a statement from Hezbollah regarding what we've been talking about with Phil during the social media sweep. Again, the news just breaking that over 1,000 pagers being worn by members of the terrorist group Hezbollah. Remember, you've got Hamas is the terror network in Gaza that made war on Israel. Hezbollah is the Iranian-backed terror group to the north of Israel. And over 1,000 pager devices being worn by Hezbollah terrorist members exploded, apparently at the same time. And you've got several dead and over 1,000 wounded, various parts of their body being blown up. The statement just in from Hezbollah says at approximately 3:30 p.m. on Tuesday, of course, time changes there, many hundreds, probably over 1,000 pager devices used by various personnel in different units and institutions of Hezbollah exploded. These mysterious explosions, whose causes are still unknown, have resulted in the martyrdom of a young girl and two brothers, as well as injuring many others with varying degrees of injuries. Hezbollah's specialized security and scientific teams are conducting a wide-ranging investigation to determine the causes of these simultaneous explosions. Medical and health teams are treating the injured in hospitals across different regions of Lebanon. We ask Allah Almighty for mercy for our honorable martyrs on the path to Jerusalem. And we pray, why are they going to Jerusalem? They have no business in Jerusalem. But anyway, we pray for the swift recovery of the wounded and injured. We urge our dear people to be cautious of rumors and misleading information spread by certain parties serving the psychological warfare interests of the Zionist enemy, et cetera, et cetera. Again, this is an entity that exists solely to make war on the Israeli people, not on the military, on the people. And I think Israel has had enough. So we don't know if Israel's responsible for all this. You know, always the possibility that it is a rival Muslim jihadist organization. Keep in mind, there's a huge split in Islam between Shia and Sunni Muslims. Most of the Middle East, Arab Middle East, are Sunni Muslim. I believe Hezbollah is Shia. So it could be that, but just given the tactical brilliance of a move like this, it is probably Israel. And we'll talk about this more tomorrow, but regarding the war against Gaza, the reason why you're not hearing the war against Hamas in Gaza, the reason why you're not hearing a lot about it over the last few days is, or the last couple of weeks, it's going very well. It's going very well for Israel. Not so good at all for Hamas. All right. I don't know if you have time to see a movie this week. If you do see a movie, I suggest, I heartily endorse you go see the movie Am I a Racist by Matt Walsh. It is currently the fourth most popular movie in the country. Beetlejuice, of course, Beetlejuice is number one. Speak No Evil, number two. Number three is the biggest grossing R-rated movie ever, Deadpool and Wolverine. And right underneath is this incredibly diabolically clever and laugh-out-loud funny movie, Am I a Racist? It's Matt Walsh from Daily Wire, who essentially is doing a scrutinous exam of the anti-racist movement and really does expose it as basically just a big grift. But he goes undercover and he uses their own words to make them look foolish. And if you have a chance to see this movie, again, if you've ever wanted to just laugh out loud at how this movie mocks and ridicules, and that's the one thing the far left hates more than anything else is to be laughed at and ridiculed. But that's what this movie is. I mean, at one point, you've got the doyen of the anti-racist movement, Robin DiAngelo, from the University of Washington, by the way. Robin DiAngelo, who agrees to sit for an interview in exchange for $15,000. And he actually, Matt Walsh, who is posing as a woke documentary maker, ends up convincing her to give reparations to his black producer. I mean, he actually has her going for her purse, taking money out of her purse and giving the money to his black producer as reparations. And she's at first reluctant to do it. You know, says, well, I think what we need is a systemic solution. He says, I'm not waiting for government. I've given reparations to my producer. What can we do as people if we really believe in reparations? Why wait for government? Why not take action? And she ends up going and giving the guy $30. That's just one of many, many funny parts of this. He ends up going online and getting credentialed as a DEI expert, uses that as his entree onto several television shows. And those interviews are priceless. And then he actually conducts an anti-racist seminar. And again, just shows how absolutely full of you-know-what that entire movement is. It's a grift. It's a scam. And the other thing he shows is, at its heart, it's anti-American. And it's designed, the DEI movement generally and the anti-racist seminars and curriculum in particular, they're designed to divide people. They're designed to drive people apart. And how already, even though it's not on that many screens, I went to Sunday showing Sunday afternoon in Bellevue at the Lincoln Square. The theater was packed. And so if it's doing this well in blue states, and by the way, a shocking number of people in the audience were young people. Matt Walsh has a following. I mean, he's very, very funny. Some people call him the Michael Moore of the left. Only Matt Walsh is not going after corporations. He's going after the cultural left. He dismantled them in his earlier movie, What is a Woman? And this movie, every bit as good and very funny. Like the first one was also very funny. Am I a Racist? Check it out at a theater near you. All right. By the way, I've got to play this clip for you. We'll break early and come back. Have you actually heard Kamala Harris doing that interview with a sympathetic Philadelphia TV station news anchor? This was only her second interview after the one she did with her emotional support running mate, Tim Walz, in front of CNN's Dana Bash. This was her first solo interview that she gave last Friday after we were off the air. We're just going to run a couple of clips. You've got to hear this because it says everything you need to know about that campaign, and we will play it. Coming right up on The Commute with Carlson, Talk Radio 570. By the way, misspoke, Am I Racist is the third most popular movie in the country right now, the third most popular movie in the country over the weekend. The Reagan movie is number five. So it's been pretty good week for red state movies. All right, let's get from movies to TV. WPVI news anchor asks Vice President Kamala Harris about her campaign promise of an opportunity economy. Listen to her answer.
Madam Vice President, pleasure to meet you. Thanks
good
for your
to
time
meet you,
today.
Brian.
Our audience appreciates your time as well.
Of course.
As you know, we're sitting here in a state and arguably in front of an audience that 54 days from now could decide the outcome of this presidential election. You hear it more than I do. People want to know more about you and about your specific plans. At the debate the other night, you talked about creating an opportunity economy. I wonder if we can drill down on that a little bit. When we talk about bringing down prices and making life more affordable for people, what are one or two specific things you have in mind for that?
Well, I'll start with this. I grew up a middle-class kid. My mother raised my sister and me. She worked very hard. She was able to finally save up enough money to buy our first house when I was a teenager. I grew up in a community of hardworking people, you know, construction workers and nurses and teachers. And I try to explain to some people who may not have had the same experience, you know, but a lot of people will relate to this. You know, I grew up in a neighborhood of folks who were very proud of their lawn.
Very, very proud of their lawn. Didn't he ask her about how she's going to bring down prices?
Is she undiagnosed, you know? ADD?
And I was raised to believe and to know that all people deserve dignity. And that we as Americans have a beautiful character.
Oh boy.
You know, we have ambitions and aspirations and dreams, but not everyone necessarily has access to the resources that can help them fuel those dreams and ambitions.
So that's how she's going to bring down higher prices. And that wasn't just an outlier.
On the appeal of the man you were running against, as you drove here today, you likely saw a lot of Trump signs. He has an historic appeal in this country. And as you are someone running against him and trying to understand that, I wonder how you distill it. What do you understand his appeal to be? And how do you speak to his voters, or maybe people who just share his values but are open to something else?
Good question.
Based on experience and a lived experience, no. In my heart, I know, in my soul, I know that the vast majority of us as Americans have so much more in common than what separates us.
She's just going back.
And I also believe that I am accurate in knowing that most Americans want a leader who brings us together as Americans and not someone who professes to be a leader who is trying to have us point our fingers at each other. I think people are exhausted with that approach, to be honest with you. I think people...
Okay, I'm exhausted. He's asking, why does Donald Trump have appeal to many voters, and what are you going to do to try and pull those people to you? And you, you heard what you just heard. Easy questions, and she still can't think on her feet, and she wants to be commander-in-chief and leader of the free world. Yikes.